Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It's August 25th, 2025, and the NFL season is basically right around the corner, just over a week away.
Yeah, the excitement is definitely building.
Last time we were talking all about the anticipation for the Bradley Fantasy Football League draft night. Lots of speculation. You're probably wondering how it all shook out. Well, the results are in.
Absolutely. The dust has officially settled on the 2025 BFFL draft. Keepers locked, rookies drafted, and, you know, the whole landscape feels fresh.
Totally.
So our mission today is to really dig into those draft results. We're not just going to list picks. We want to pull out insights that maybe you can use too. Highlight some key selections, potential steals, and really look at the strategy behind it all.
Okay, let's unpack this then, because this league, the BFFL, it's a two-player keeper league, which is kind of key context here.
Crucial context, yeah.
It means every team kept two players before the draft. So basically 32 of the, you know, quote unquote, best players were already gone.
Off the board. Completely changes the game.
Right. So the draft becomes less about just grabbing the biggest name available and more about like strategic depth, filling out the roster smartly, and also thinking long term, finding those guys who could be keepers next year. Future proofing.
Exactly that. It's this constant balancing act between trying to win now and setting yourself up for success down the road. It's fascinating.
It really is. And yeah. It's a dynamic you see more and more, isn't it? Finding value later, identifying breakouts.
Well, yeah. And think about how much impact younger players are having these days. Like ESPN Fantasy data showed last season, four of the top 10 most common players on championship rosters were guys really breaking out in their first pro year.
Wow. 4 out of 10. That's significant.
It really is. It shows you can't just rely on established veterans. You need that pipeline of talent. You have to scout. You have to project.
Okay, so let's dive into round one then, where the tone is often set. Matt Yagler had the first pick, round one, pick one. And he went straight for running back Ashton Janney, high upside there.
Yeah, that's a big swing right out of gate. Janney's a 2025 rookie, a really promising talent. That pick tells me Matt Yagler is thinking long-term keeper value.
Investing in the future.
Precisely. Not just plucking a hole for this year, but potentially locking down a key piece for, you know, several seasons. It's a smart keeper league strategy.
Okay, then at round one, pick two, Brian Bradley grabbed quarterback Jaden Daniels. We saw what Daniels did last season, so that's a major get.
Huge get, especially considering Brian already had Christian McCaffrey and James Cook kept as running backs. Adding Daniels gives him elite talent at QB and RB. That's a contender right there.
For sure. Then Tyler Bradley, round one, pick three, takes wide receiver Nico Collins, adding another dynamic weapon to his pass catchers.
Right, complementing his keeper Malik Nabers. A nice pairing.
And the first round just kept rolling with interesting picks, like Caden Lick taking running back Omarion Hampton at round one, pick six, another top 2025 rookie running back.
Yep, building for the future around his keeper Josh Allen.
Smart. Jeremiah Kern went for tight end Brock Bowers at round one, pick eight. Elite talent at a thin position.
Always valuable to get a difference maker at tight end, especially with strong running backs already kept like Jacobs and Hall.
And Jacob Bradley wrapping up the round at 16 with wide receiver Marvin Harrison, a name everyone was watching, just adds more firepower.
Absolutely. You see the different approaches there. Some focusing on rookies, some on proven guys, some targeting specific positions based on their keepers. It's a real chess match.
Definitely not just picking off a list. Okay, let's maybe group some of these strategies together. Look at how different owners approached building their teams post-keepers.
Good idea. Let's start with what you call the youth movement. Teams really targeting young guys, maybe for keeper potential down the line.
Yeah, like Matt Yagler. We mentioned Janty at 1.1, but then he grabbed the speedy 2025 rookie wide receiver Xavier Worthy in round three.
Right, a clear strategy there. Yeah. Doubling down on high upside rookies. Caden Licks fits here too, right? He's got Josh Allen locked in, then uses round one pick six on that 2025 rookie Omarion Hampton, building a young core.
Definitely. Then you had teams sort of fortifying the core, building around their existing stars.
Yeah. Brian Bradley is a prime example. Keeps McCaffrey and Cook, then grabs Jaden Daniels, solidifying quarterback. Austin Bradley, too, keeps Saquon Barkley and Ja'Marr Chase, then drafts quarterback Joe Burrow at round one, pick 12.
Whoa, that's a scary trio.
That's a powerhouse. Seriously tough lineup right there.
Then there's the immediate impact approach. Guys wanting proven production now.
Like Jared Steph's grabbing running back Kenneth Walker at round one, pick four. Yep. He's got Zach Charbonnet as a keeper. Now adds another solid starting running back. Immediate help.
Makes sense. Abby Bradley did something similar, maybe. getting veteran running back James Conner at round 1, pick 9, then adding quarterback CJ Stroud in round 3. Reliable points right away.
Very reliable.
Yeah.
A solid foundation. Scott Bradley, too, keeper Lamar Jackson, then adds running back Joe Mixon at round 1, pick 14. Proven production in the backfield.
Okay, what about receivers? Some teams seemed really focused on loading up there.
Oh, yeah. The building receiving powerhouses group. Tyler Bradley adding Nico Collins at round 1, pick 3 to go with his keeper Malik Nabers. John Malstead already had CeeDee Lamb and Drake London.
Solid keepers.
Very solid. Then he adds Jackson Smith-Njigba at round 1, pick 10. That wide receiver room is incredibly deep now.
Yeah.
And Jacob Bradley, keeping Brian Thomas and Jahmyr Gibbs, uses his round 1, pick 16 on Marvin Harrison, another potential cornerstone receiver.
Man, some loaded receiver core there. Okay, any other themes? Maybe teams finding unexpected value?
Yeah, let's call it elite value hunters. Kevin Bradley getting quarterback Justin Herbert way down in round 3, pick 13. That's amazing value alongside keepers Derrick Henry and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
That is a steal. How did he fall that far?
Who knows? Draft day dynamics. But Kevin benefits. Dwayne Bradley getting Ladd McConkie at round 1, pick 7 is solid. But then snagging quarterback Caleb Williams in round 7. That's a huge long-term upside play.
We'll definitely talk more about that one later.
For sure. Tyler Starbird, too. Yeah. Keeps Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson maybe the best WR duo. Then adds running back Chase Brown at round 1, pick 5. Good balance. Nathaniel Baker grabs veteran running back Alvin Kamara at round 1, pick 11 to pair with keeper Jonathan Taylor. Proven production.
And Josh Yagler already has Patrick Mahomes kept.
Right, so he takes a shot on a 2025 rookie, wide receiver Matthew Golden, at round 1, pick 15. High potential play there.
Okay, so that covers pretty much everyone. It really shows, even with those top 32 guys gone, there were so many different ways to attack this draft.
Absolutely. No single right way. It all depends on your keepers and your specific goals.
So connecting this back, value, potential, keeper leagues. What was the absolute biggest steal of this draft for you?
Ooh, the steal. Okay. For me, thinking about that long-term potential in a deep keeper league, I got to go with Dwayne Bradley getting quarterback Caleb Williams. Round 7, pick 7.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to land on that one. Explain why that stands out so much.
Well, look, Caleb Williams has enormous potential. We know the talent level. Getting a quarterback with that kind of ceiling, potentially a franchise guy, in the 7th round of a 16-team league, that's just, it's highway robbery, potentially.
Especially in a keeper format where you might hold him for years.
Exactly. Quarterbacks like that usually go way earlier, or they're kept. Dwayne basically got a lottery ticket with a really good chance of hitting for the price of mid-round pick. It frees him up elsewhere.
It's a fantastic call, incredible value, huge potential upside. But is there a risk picking a QB there instead of maybe a safer RB or WR?
Oh, there's always opportunity cost, sure. Mm-hmm. He passed on someone who might give him more points this season. But in a keeper league, hitting on a pick like Williams late can set you up for dominance for years. It's that calculated gamble you mentioned.
A gamble that could pay off big time for Dwayne. Okay. Gotta ask the flip side then. Every draft has them. Potential busts. Based purely on draft cost versus likely production or positional value, what pick felt like maybe not the best use of capital?
Right, the bust. And this is always tough and maybe unfair this early, but purely looking at value, I'd have to point to Caden Lick taking kicker Brandon Aubrey at round 7, pick 6.
Oof. A kicker in round 7.
Yeah. Look, Aubrey's a great kicker, probably one of the best. But using a 7th round pick in a 16-team league,
that just feels rich. There had to be valuable skill players, potential breakout guys still on the board there.
That's the thing. You're sacrificing potential upside at running back, wide receiver, maybe even tight end for steady kicker points.
Yeah.
Which are nice, but usually replaceable much later in the draft or off waivers. It feels like a luxury pick made way too early. Limits flexibility.
It's a choice for floor or over ceiling, I guess. But yeah, the cost seems high in the 7th. You wonder what the thinking was there.
Maybe just locking down the position. Who knows? But purely from a value perspective, it stands out as a potential overpay.
Fair enough. Okay, rosters are taking shape. Preseason's underway. Let's do it.
Way too early. Predictions for the 2025 BFFL season, division by division.
All right, let's get reckless. Starting with the legend division. Kevin Bradley, Josh Yagler, Jacob Bradley, Scott Bradley. Josh Jaggler's got Mahomes and A.J. Brown kept, added that rookie Golden. That feels really strong.
Yeah, that's a solid foundation.
I'm going to predict Josh Jaggler takes the Legend Division. Good mix of elite stars and upside.
Okay, Elite Division. Abby Bradley, Nathaniel Baker, Austin Bradley, John Malstead. This one looks tough on paper.
And it does, but Austin Bradley keeping Saquon and Ja'Marr Chase, then adding Joe Burrow, that offense is just potentially league winning.
Yeah, hard to bet against that kind of firepower.
Agreed. My pick for the Elite Division is Austin Bradley. Just too much talent.
Moving on. Veteran Division. Matt Jagler, Tyler Bradley, Brian Bradley, Jarrett Steffs. What do you see here? Well, Brian Bradley keeping C-Mac and James Cook, then drafting Jaden Daniels.
Huh.
That RBQB combo is elite. Super high floor every week.
Yeah, that running back duo is lethal.
I think that carries him.
Yeah.
I'm picking Brian Bradley to win the Veteran Division. Consistency should rule there.
All right, last one. Rookie Division. Dwayne Bradley, Tyler Starbird, Caden Lick, Jeremiah Kern.
Tyler Starbird.
Yeah.
Keeping Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson. Come on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of an automatic advantage, isn't it?
It's a massive advantage. Those two can win you weeks by themselves. Adding Chase Brown helps balance it out.
Uh-huh.
Got to go with Tyler Starbird for the rookie division.
Okay, the big one. Drum roll. You're way too early. Put it on record. 2025 Bradley Fantasy Football League champion is...
Looking across all the divisions, considering the keepers, the draft capital, the overall construction, I have to stick with the firepower. My prediction for the 2025 BFFL champion is Austin Bradley.
Austin Bradley.
Yep. That combo of Saquon Barkley, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow is just, it's an offensive juggernaut. They're going to be incredibly difficult to stop. That's my early call.
Wow. Bold, but I see the logic. That lineup is intimidating, no doubt. We've covered a ton today, huh? From specific picks, steals, busts, strategies.
Yeah, it really shows how deep the strategy goes in these keeper leagues, right? It's not just about this year. You're always thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Balancing winning now with building for tomorrow.
Absolutely. So as we head into the preseason, what's the big question lingering for you? What are you watching for?
For me, it's about seeing which of these strategies pays off. Does the youth movement hit? Do those high upside rookies like Jainty or Hampton make an immediate impact? Or do the teams built around established stars dominate? And how does that Caleb Williams pick look for Dwayne in a few months?
Yeah, lots of storylines to follow. The stage is definitely set for a really interesting 2025 season in the BFFL. And hopefully you listening picked up some ideas for your own leagues. What stood out to you from this draft breakdown? Who's your sleeper pick this year?
Always fun to speculate.
It is. We'll be keeping an eye on it all. Until next time, keep digging deep into those fantasy insights.